Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Red hot comic book movie news. Shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another... Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of... And I kicked the mic stand.
Keep it rolling.
Official time podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me as well as my co-host, always encouraging, Nick Mason.
We're keeping it loose. It's party time.
Do you hang on? I thought you were drinking from that. Were you just hanging on to it?
I reclosed it because I wanted to be ready for party time, but it's open again.
Good, good, good. Do you want to get into what is that? A Schweppes?
It's a raspberry lemonade.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a tough guy drink for tough guys. That's what I'm drinking.
It's a bag.
It's a beer. I'm drinking a beer.
It's a sack of blended nails. Okay. Straight into the news.
UFC.
Yeah. What about it?
No. Did you watch it?
I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing about it's Ronda Rousey versus anyone.
Yeah.
You don't need to watch it really because the duration of the fight is always the length of an animated GIF.
Okay, right, sure, yeah, you're right.
You just be like, oh, there's a punch. Oh, she got kicked in the neck and it's over. But rare defeat for Ronda Rousey.
Rare defeat, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What of.
That's the only one.
That's the only
one. Yeah, she's been undefeated from this point.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm. Nah, she's been defeated.
Nah, good on them both.
Good on her, whatever, man.
Yeah. Do you think, here's a question.
Do I think this is the story of Rocky III? Yes.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. She should get a robot real quick. Do you think that this will hurt or increase her chances of becoming Captain Marvel?
I think if it's a sign that she's out,
right,
like she's leaving fighting or maybe she's slipping a bit, then it could not hurt. Huh. I'm saying.
Yep, that's probably true.
Because then she'd maybe more focus on acting.
See, I haven't seen the post-match anythings.
Yeah.
And I reckon, like, if she has a noble defeat,
yeah,
I think she's on her way to being Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
If she's a sore loser,
yeah, yeah.
Like if it turns out in the coming weeks she's like this, you know, what a bunch of cheap shots, blah blah blah. I reckon they'd be like, oh, that's not kind of
the
Captain Marvel spirit.
Certainly not. Yeah, mm. No, I can understand that.
Good but point. Then again, it'd be understandable because she did get roundhouse kicked.
Sure.
Anyway,
it just puts a dampener on things, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Well, speaking of strong female superhero roles.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder Woman has begun principal photography and yes. Photography. It's begun both of those things.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
Did you see the image of Chris Pine as Steve Trevor?
Yes, I did.
He's in like old-timey outfits.
Every time I see one of those, though, like that, I always assume it's just a fan-made Photoshop.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of out of the loop. So I'm like, did somebody...
Or is that just something Chris Pine wears?
Yeah, is that just a Captain America photo Photoshop and just put the head on there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
What do you think?
He looks pretty good.
So that means that Steve Trevor is not from the modern day.
Yes,
this
that's
incarnation
true.
Of Steve
yeah.
Trevor.
Yeah. But they could do the classic Steve Trevor and Steve Trevor Jr.
Oh, they've done that before?
No, but it seems like that's something like
that. It's pretty classic.
Yeah,
though,
pretty
isn't
classic.
It?
Or they could, because we don't, again, we still don't really know how sci-fi comic book in this universe is.
Trapped in a time hole.
Time hole. See, we can't do Frozen because that's too...
It's been done, yeah.
That's too Captain
And he's
America.
Dressed exactly like Captain America. Same yeah. hair and everything.
Bit of a... Yeah, so I think we could definitely do time hole.
Yeah.
Or we could do Trapped in the Phantom Zone, maybe?
Okay,
like
sure.
Some sort of thing like that, like Superman's arrival pulled him through time or something, you know.
How long do you think he would last in the Phantom Zone? It depends on what Phantom Zone it is, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Some
yeah.
of them are pretty sweet. Some of them are just a glass sheet. Yeah. It just depends, doesn't it?
You got nothing to do. You can polish the glass. You get the Windex out. You can polish the glass.
If you bought the Windex with you.
But otherwise, you got to survive like a literal eternity with like fingerprints on your
glass. That'd drive me crazy.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything.
Nah, bugger that.
Yeah. Bugger it for a joke. It's pretty good.
I don't know. Pine. Yeah, it depends on the magic and whatever, like you said. I'm sure I had something else to say about that, but...
Oh, maybe it's magic.
Yeah,
maybe they could do it Highlander 2 style.
What happened
where
that?
He's dead,
yep.
And then she just uses magic and he appears again. You know what I mean?
Bring that into this universe where you can bring anybody back.
It's World War II and yep. He's literally beheaded by like an airplane propeller. There's definitely no way he can come back. And then it's the future and she's like, I'm kind of lonely. Magic. And he's back.
Great.
Let's not dwell on that. I was speaking of female superheroes. I watched episode 3 of Supergirl.
And?
It's less phoned in.
Yes.
I'm going to give it the one more.
All right.
I'm give it
out
till episode
you.
4.
Did you get any tweets? Because you didn't like it. Did you get any tweets from people saying, you're wrong?
No. Oh. No one. Absolutely no one.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Interesting.
Yeah, I think maybe they're settling into their roles a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I give it one more.
Okay.
And then they're out.
Well, I'm just going to see what you think.
And then, either way,
I probably won't watch it because there's too much stuff to watch.
Too much stuff.
We're talking about what we're going to do next week. I think looks like we're going to do Hunger Games, Doctor Who.
Our classic episode. The classic combo.
That's right. But also Jessica Jones is out next week. So we'll do that the week after. But I have to watch every episode of Jessica Jones. So I don't know how much Doctor Who I'm going to get in between.
Yeah, that's
now
fair.
And then.
Look, we can trade information.
Absolutely.
I'll be like, he went through time and you'll be like, she punched a whole bunch of dudes. Because see, last year we did, when Daredevil came out.
Yeah.
We sort of had to shotgun every episode
in a day. Yeah.
And I felt it kind of...
Yeah, we could have definitely
stretched
more time
it out a little
on that.
Bit.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing out the next week apparently because Creed's out in the US, but now Creed is out here like February 50th or something.
Sure. Yeah.
So
it's out February 50th Phantom Zone time.
That's right.
So it may never arrive.
That's exactly
right. And Creed is the Rocky spin-off.
Yes.
Where it's Apollo Creed's son being taught by Rocky.
Yes. I get emails. Yes. I don't know why, because I get this for nothing.
I get emails too.
Do you really?
What a wonderful modern world we live in.
But it's about the potential Ivan Drago sequel.
Oh, yes.
And I got sent like the script. Be like, oh, sorry, hang on. My Luke Skywalker kill count just published. That'll be ready to go. That's been a nightmare. That's a whole other story. But people send, I don't know who it is. I've got the script for that. I'm not going to read it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how... Or why people would think that that's something that I could be useful.
Oh, sure. We could do a dramatic reading.
I guess
we could.
Okay,
next week we'll do a dramatic reading of one of the scenes.
Okay.
And by one of the scenes, I mean the final scene.
I lost because it's the Rocky world.
I guess I finally learned what it's like to be Drago.
What if it's Drago versus Draco Malfoy? Who could Drago fight? Who does he fight? I mean, I could check right now. Like another Russian? Like a meaner Russian? What about a robot?
I reckon he might fight like the worst, like, because you got to sort of make him a hero.
Yeah,
he might
North
fight
Korea.
China. He might fight like what people consider the worst part of American cult. Like Donald Trump. Donald Trump, exactly. Or like a bearded hipster or something.
Okay,
like
sure.
Whatever the filmmakers are like, those idiots. And it's just a guy. Like it's a guy who's got one boxing glove on. No, he's got touchscreen boxing gloves on so he can check his Twitter while he's fighting.
What about if he fights the Hugh Jackman Real Steel robot?
I would watch that.
Sure. All right, Suicide Squad news.
Oh, yes.
It's got a rating. It's PG-13, but apparently they're taking it right to the edge of that PG-13.
One swear.
Yeah, exactly. That's
one
the
swear,
edge.
One spray of blood off camera.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
I mean, I can understand why they want people to see it.
Yeah.
So that's what you're bloody got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they talked about Jared Leto this week and how he didn't break character all that again and he made like people call him Mr. J to call him to set and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Acting. Yeah, all the classics.
All the acting.
Such acting.
So much acting. That's pretty good. Mm. Are you surprised, PG-13?
No.
Nah,
not at all. Oh, here's a bit of news. You might have that on there.
Maybe.
Speaking of movies, good link. I brought it back.
Well done.
Did you see that somebody put out a full page ad in the Hollywood Reporter?
Of the Die Hard thing. I didn't have that in, but yeah, what about it?
Well, he put out just some screenwriter, producer.
Yeah.
Released.
So this isn't the guy who's writing it.
No, this is just some guy.
Some guy.
This some guy put out a full page ad in the Hollywood Reporter
yep.
basically saying, Hey, remember when the Die Hard movies were good?
Vaguely.
One, two, three, I think.
I'm going to say one and three.
Yeah, okay. And then you ruined the four and five or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And then he's like, here's a way to bring it back.
Yep.
And he just made a full plot synopsis in this one page.
Okay.
Actually sounds pretty good.
Give me the breakdown.
The gist basically is
Fights Ivan Drago.
Oh, he couldn't. That's America.
That's right.
McClane. He keeps fighting even though
I would like to see Drago fight actor Bruce Willis, who seems like a real asshole.
Very good.
He's all the worst parts of America.
Yeah, in many ways.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, go on.
So the plot, the frame story basically is it's John McClane is being put into prison, like at the start of the film.
For all his dieharding.
We'll see, we don't know.
Oh.
And then basically it flashes back to the 70s when he was just, you know, he'd first become a cop.
Play that funky music.
And he's got the afro. Yeah. He's got an afro with a widow's peak in it. He's still looking worried. And basically there's a criminal and he goes to arrest him, but in classic John McClane style, he steps over all the rules
and the bad guy. Glass.
Yeah, and the bad guy gets away.
Oh no.
And then, like, many years later when he's coming back from Russia at the end of Die Hard.
At the end of fighting Drago.
In Die Hard 5.
Yeah.
That suspect, that criminal, turns up dead, and everybody's like, it must have been McClane, he's murdered him because he couldn't get away, you know, he let him get away the first time.
Yeah.
And then, basically...
Wasn't he like, I was in Russia?
Yeah, see, there's the plot hole. But then his, like, his partner, or whatever, somebody else in the force is like...
Justin Long.
I've got evidence that said he didn't do it, chiefly that he was in Russia at the time, or whatever, but it's too late, so McClane has gone into jail.
Yeah.
But then, like, troubles... And then... Then his partner goes in with the evidence to show him the evidence. And then there's a prison riot.
Oh, cool.
So they're both trapped in the prison. So it's like Die Hard 1, except it's in a prison.
That sounds amazing.
Sounds better, right?
I don't know what it was going to be before. But
sounds better, though. I don't know either, but it sounds better.
Yeah, because you can do your flashback.
Yep.
But it's only temporarily.
Yes.
And you wouldn't even have to do it. You could just do it with newspaper cutouts or I could just be like, remember this thing that happened to you?
Yeah,
and
it'd
be like, yes, I do. I do remember
all
that.
Or the tearing away of a calendar.
That's right.
It's like, arrested a guy, rip. You got away because of due process, rip. Maybe I'll murder him, rip. I don't know. I'm no screenwriter, but that guy is, I assume. I don't know.
He sounds like he could be.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I look forward to people stealing that idea and then doing a worse version of it.
Well, see, I don't think they can.
Oh, because he's put it out there.
Yeah, because I don't think that... I mean, he did rubbish 2/5 of the Die Hard films in this one page.
Fair enough.
And so they're not going to buy it from him. Because why would they?
Yeah.
But also they can't use it because if they do, he'll be like, you stole my ideas.
I'll sue you.
So nice work, idiot.
No, but I guess that... He's putting his name out there, so I guess other studios might be like, this guy doesn't sound the worst.
Yeah.
Let's get him to write...
Let's get him on the Drago sequel.
Yeah.
Drago 2.
Let's make him write the next Highlander at gunpoint.
Mm.
Yeah.
Drago Heart.
All right. Remember how Rupert White left Gambit?
Yes.
He directed one of the Planet
of the
Apes movies.
He's the director. Yes, I do remember now.
Yeah. Doug Liman is apparently now in talks.
Ooh.
And he directed Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That had some solid action in it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because directors sort of keep coming and going on this, it seems, or all sorts of shenanigans.
Uh-huh.
I was worried that maybe they won't get anybody good.
Uh-huh.
But this guy's pretty good. So, though I didn't love Edge of Tomorrow. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't like, that's amazing. It's the best movie ever made.
Yeah, I've always
isn't anybody seeing it?
I think
That's everybody who likes that movie.
Yeah, I remember at the time going, I really enjoyed that. I'll see that again soon. And I didn't. So.
That's right.
Nice work, Lyman. You idiots.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of that universe, there is going to be the X-Men Apocalypse trailer soon. And apparently it's going to be attached to Star Wars, the movie.
Ooh.
So it looks like we're going to get...
I'm probably going to see that.
Yeah, you probably will.
Yeah.
Looks like we're going to get Civil War and X-Men in that one in the trailers before Star Wars.
That's a bloody night out, mate.
It sure is, mate.
So the bloody trailers are the best part, mate. Don't see the trailers. I mean, they'll be on the internet several days before.
Yeah, exactly.
In high def, don't have to leave my house.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Don't even bother. Turn up late.
Yeah.
It's fine. You got assigned seating. It's all good. But also, apparently, there's going to be another Deadpool trailer in December. which is exciting also. Because that's out in like February, so that's coming
up. Yeah, again, I think I've seen enough of Deadpool.
Sure.
I think...
But you've got to put it in the public consciousness.
That's true.
Because not everybody has had enough of it.
Because at this, the last... If they do another trailer, it's going to be main villain plot.
Yeah.
And like... four of the best jokes in the movie. And
which some of them they inexplicably change to worse versions of that joke.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's that?
Different takes, I don't know.
Don't know.
And then you spend the whole movie expecting that one punchline and you go, now it's going to be the... Oh, it wasn't. Now what? It's going to... And it's the end.
It's like Christopher Walken having the gun shot from his hand in the Welcome to the Jungle trailer.
And he goes, ow!
Yeah, and they took that out.
They took that out.
It's like Jason Statham deflecting a missile with a silver serving tray in the trailer for The Transporter, but they bloody took it out.
Right.
Though that's the best part in that movie, except maybe the bicycle oil fight.
The bicycle oil fight, yeah.
Which is pretty good too.
Yeah. Or the part where the French police detective brings over, like, he's made, like, little pastries. He's like, hello. Hello, Mr. Statham, I brought pastries.
We're friends?
They're friends now. Yeah.
They're friends in all of those, aren't they?
They're friends.
Except maybe the new one, which I didn't see.
Couldn't see it.
Because it looked shit. And apparently it was shit. There you go.
Can't fool us. Movie industry.
Certainly can't.
Except all those times you have.
So there was another Force Awakens TV spot and a behind the scenes thing this week.
Not going to see them.
It's a bunch of shit.
I refuse.
There's a few bits of note.
Do you still have to do... You
I'm done.
Do videos
I've had
on
enough. Them? I've had enough, mate. I've had a bloody gutful.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to look into it anymore. But there's things like... It looks like the Stormtroopers carry like anti-lightsaber kind of melee weapons.
Oh, okay,
which
that's
is exciting.
Fun. Yeah.
So it seems like maybe they've been trained up in their interim years, being like, Luke Skywalker is going to turn up again with a whole bunch of Jedi. Be ready.
Oh, I see. So, right.
Or something. Or just like the Jedi are notorious.
No, the Jedi. We're calling them Jedis now.
Yeah, that's right. So, well, it's phonetic. It could actually
that's
it
true.
Could work that way.
That's interesting.
Well, you know the tube on the back of the Stormtroopers outfit?
Yeah, that's been there for years.
Yeah, that was originally going to be... They all had lightsabers. Like, that was just the weapon everybody had.
Yeah.
Seems dangerous.
Seems really dangerous.
But these Stormtroopers...
Especially those guys can't hit the bloody broadside of a barn.
Well, that's the thing, though. Apparently these new ones can. Ooh. I mean, we'll see, won't we? But apparently they're more adept.
Because this seems to be a universe where we still haven't seen the return of the Jedi.
As it were.
Plural.
Yes.
There's just... So he... Luke Skywalker finished his business and
Jedi
just
is like sheep, isn't it? It's the same plural.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry. Yeah,
that's
so
all we got.
Yeah, you're right. So we don't really know what's going to happen.
So it seems like a waste of money, if you ask me. If every Stormtrooper's got a bloody anti-lightsaber thing...
Yeah. Maybe put that money into target practice.
Yeah.
Or better helmets, which I guess they have.
Better helmets.
Do you like the new design? I really like it.
I like it too, yeah.
I think it's great. I think it might be the... I don't want to say the best design, but it's the best design.
Of anything.
Maybe.
In the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it a lot. Simon Pegg, though, got in trouble this week because he came out and rubbished the prequels in an article. Do you want me to read the
he's
quote?
He's been rubbishing it for years, though.
Exactly. But I guess the difference is now he's in them.
So
I guess people got upset. And there was a petition to like ban him from Star Wars.
All right.
Anyway, this is what he said.
Hang on, which ones is he in?
He's in the new one.
Is he?
He's in like a bar. You know, he's just like a creature.
Oh, he's the new Dexter Jetster.
He's the new Dexter Jetster. He's the new four-armed CGI diner owner.
See, I did not know that.
Yeah.
But there's an episode of Spaced.
Yeah.
Where he
yells at a kid.
Yeah, he yells at a kid and it's been years later, but he still hasn't gotten
months.
Over. It's been 18 months, but he hasn't gotten over.
He burns all his Star Wars
That's right,
merch,
yeah.
Like at the end of Return of Jedi.
But he's rubbished it again in an article.
Yeah. He basically said, he said exactly this. And you got to remember, this is written, so you don't know how he said it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't really have any respect for anyone who thinks those films are good. So about the prequels. They're not. He told the news. Just says the news.
Oh, yes.
They're a monumental...
This seems like a trap.
I know, right?
Like they're going to take whatever he said. They want views or whatever.
Sure,
so they're
just
going to take whatever it is said out of context.
Yeah.
But if he's just talking to... They're like, hello, Mr. Pegg, this is the news.
Oh, the news.
Yeah.
I've got things to say.
Mm-hmm.
They're a monumental misunderstanding of what the original three films are about. He said it's an exercise in utter infanticide, like George Lucas killing his kid. Harsh.
Yeah, boy.
But to be fair,
yep.
They are pretty garbage.
Yeah, they're real bad.
But I don't, but who cares?
Yeah, but I think here, though, we've seen... But who's he gotten in trouble with, though?
I just fans.
Just the internet. Yeah. Okay, right.
Because he's also close with J.J. Abrams, obviously, because they work together on... the Star Trek films and whatever. Also, Simon Pegg is writing the third Star Trek film. Ooh. So like, it'd be if it doesn't go well, it'd be interesting to see, like, that could, the whole thing could backfire on him. I'm saying. Because they'd be like, you couldn't write anything either, you dickhead.
That's very true.
I like Simon Pegg a lot. I think it'll be fine.
There's no way he could write anything as bad as the Star Wars prequels.
It seems impossible. Mm. Yeah. Very good, Mason. Well done.
Thank you.
More Star Wars news?
Yes, please. I've never wanted anything more in my life than more Star Wars news. Just show us the movie and then everybody can shut up for 2 weeks until the next one, the bloody interim one comes out. Nah, they're all right.
They're pretty good. Screenwriter Lawrence Kasdan.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Yep. Oh, he's got co-writing credits. He's also one of the writers on the new one. He says his last Star Wars film is going to be the Han Solo film, mm-hmm. which is a prequel. He said he didn't want to do it, but his family liked the idea and he gets to co-write it with his son, John. That's pretty good. Hmm. So then he's done. Then he's
I think
out.
We've talked about it before. That
what?
It seems like a good idea to get somebody who was on the first...
Oh, we have. Yeah, you're right.
Who was
yeah.
on the first... you know, series of Star Wars movies, along with somebody who I guess has grown up with Star Wars.
Yeah.
And we can have a different perspective.
Exactly.
And you can say, okay, this idea is not going to work
yep.
in 2015 anymore.
This seems like a changing of the guard as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a tag team, kind of like,
yeah.
see you in hell, good luck, that kind of thing, that kind of bizzo. Last bit of news. You know Prometheus 2, how it's now called Alien Paradise Lost.
Yay!
Well, now it's possibly called Alien Covenant.
Who cares? Why does it matter? Stop changing the title, you dicks.
It's potentially. So, you know, Covenant, some kind of...
Oh, yeah, maybe there'll be a Covenant of some kind, yeah.
Or some kind of event, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure on the meaning of the word.
Maybe the big white dudes will be like...
We're back.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're back for another Prometheusing. Everybody get ready.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right.
There it is.
Let's talk about a thing then.
Okay.
Specifically,
I was going to say, people have been wondering, did you put the bins out?
I did.
Yes. From last week. That
I
was,
did,
that was the cliffhanger we left the show on.
I should have mentioned that I was going to put them out. I also have already put my bins out today as well.
Oh, boy.
It's actually,
I thought this was going to be a trilogy, but it's not.
No, just wrap it up, mate.
Yeah.
It's like Han Solo getting out of carbonite straight up in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
There's more adventures to be had, mm-hmm. but you just don't need to worry about that particular thing. Yeah. Everybody can relax until the Ewoks. I don't know what the Ewoks is of this particular podcast.
It's probably the drink. It's the raspberry lemonade.
Very good.
Yeah.
So anyway, we finally got around to seeing Spectre.
Yes,
they
we did.
They finally decided to release it here.
Uh-huh.
Now, this made $300 million in 15 days, which is...
Sounds pretty good.
Pretty bloody good. That's worldwide.
Is that the highest grossing Bond film, do you think?
No, it's under Spectre, but it's still really good.
Skyfall?
Sorry, yeah, it's under Skyfall.
We're going to be doing that a lot this episode. Yeah. Just so we're clear, I've done that a lot.
Yep.
When we weren't talking specifically about this movie, now that we're under the gun and we have to talk about Spectre, I'm going to be mixing those two movies up multiple times.
All day, every day.
All day.
So the critical reception is mixed, at best. Mm-hmm. That being said, you know, it's doing well enough, but it's doing better than all the classic ones, but it's middling compared to other, not middling, but it's about the same as an average kind of newer one, even Daniel the Brosnan Craig, sure. ones, or the oh. Brosnan ones as well.
Oh boy.
Well, they made a lot of money, those
That's
ones.
That's true.
And even though they're terrible, except for Goldeneye, which is not that terrible, but we've talked about that before.
It's very 90s though.
Yes.
At one point they use a 14.4K modem.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So many RAMs. RAM? Gig.
All, yeah, heaps of.
No, there would have been no gigs.
No gigs.
No. it's all bits.
Mm.
So, yeah, so as we do when we talk about a movie or any movie, we go spoiler free.
We'll try to do that as much as we can.
Yep, even though everybody's seen it at this point.
And we're never any good at it.
That's right. And then we'll go spoilers.
Great.
And that's how that goes. So, Mason.
Yep.
Did you think this movie was balls?
No. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Here's the thing about this movie. There's a lot to like about it, I think.
I think there's some to like about it.
Yeah, that's fair. This is going to be a rare difference of opinion podcast. This is going to be great.
Until one of us slips into indifference.
Yes.
That's how it goes.
That'll be in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on this.
There's a lot to like about it, but to me, as a fan of Bond movies and a fan specifically of Daniel Craig as Bond,
yeah,
but not necessarily any of the Bond movies he's been in, and as a fan of Casino Royale,
yes,
I find this movie, like Skyfall and like Quantum of Solace, it's very frustrating in that there are a lot of elements where you think it's going to slip into like classic Bond mode.
Right.
And they just sort of touch on all the classic Bond stuff, but they never really
get it.
Bit of a wink and a nod, but enough. And it's kind of, we keep teetering on this edge of will we get a James Bond movie that is just like a classic James Bond, like a Roger Moore kind of James Bond. Yeah. It's just
the best ones.
The best ones, but it never quite gets there.
Yes, and
there
I agree. I think these films are guilty, except for Casino Royale, really, of not having an identity of their own.
Yep.
And like, they're not classic Bond films, but they're not really anything else.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
They're just kind of like, what is this? But we'll get into that, though. What do you think the story was?
My least favorite part of anything. Got to remember what the plot was.
Especially this one. This movie is bloody...
See, here's the thing, though. Skyfall definitively had this plot that was insane.
Yes.
But I feel in a lot of cases a James Bond movie doesn't really need to have a coherent plot.
Certainly not, no.
You just need him to... He needs to get a thing.
Yeah.
He needs to go to a place to find a thing and talk to somebody and sleep with some women and shoot some dudes. Maybe he gets on a boat. Maybe there's a torture device.
Mm.
Then he kills some more dudes and that's the end.
Yes.
but in this one, Bond... How about this?
Yep.
In terms of Bond going rogue, right off the bat.
Straight up.
He's open. Sometimes it's halfway through the movie before he goes rogue. Sometimes it's end of the first act. This one, he's already gone rogue.
Yeah.
We don't know it yet, but he's bloody gone rogue
he's
already.
He's gone rogue
by
straight
credits,
up.
By the bloody gun barrel sequence at the start, he's already gone rogue. So he's gone rogue. He's gone to Mexico City.
Let's just back up and work out how many of these he's gone rogue in.
Yep.
Casino Royale, he goes rogue because he quits.
Yep.
Or was that just quitting?
No, that's more quitting. He doesn't really go rogue.
In Quantum, does he go rogue?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's assume he goes rogue.
He definitely goes rogue in Skyfall.
Yes, he does.
He goes rogue twice.
Yeah.
He goes rogue to have a scorpion drinking game.
Yep.
And then he goes rogue at the end to save M.
Correct.
He double rogues.
So even if he doesn't go rogue in Quantum of Salt, let's assume he does.
Yes.
Let's take one of the going rogues from Skyfall. We'll put it in there.
Absolutely.
And in this one, bloody rogue, right off the bat, he ends up in Mexico City to kill a man.
He goes rogue again as well later.
Yeah, we don't know why yet,
yes.
but we discover later there's a reason he went rogue.
Yes.
And then everything falls to bits.
Yep.
He retrieves a...
Ring?
He retrieves a ring, an octopus embossed ring.
Yep.
And he's like, this is probably a clue.
He says out loud.
You might have seen the poster. You might have seen the poster. It's just Daniel Craig staring in a ring, and he's like, "This might be a clue." And it's in the, like, it's got that dynamic stripe along it. Looks really action packed. It's like, "Ooh, a clue."
Absolutely. Yeah. And it turned out to be a clue. It had all sorts of clues in it.
Yeah. But then he goes back to MI6.
Yeah.
And M's like, "Yeah, Bond, you went rogue again.
Did you go rogue?" And he's like,
"No.
How dare you?
I was just in Mexico because I like pina coladas." Is that Mexican? It's not. "I like paella. I like skull masks."
He did like that skull mask. Mm-hmm. Do you notice the quick suit change at the start?
I did notice that.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. And then it turns out that MI6 and MI5 are going to be combining under a sort of a privately backed...
What? I feel like that's the plot of everything.
Yeah, it does.
It's always MI6 and maybe MI5's worse in generally.
Yeah, it's tough to say.
Like, that's what it's always implied. Like, MI5 is crap.
I think MI5 is British security and MI6 is global security.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, so there's this privately backed global intelligence firm
that is going to revolutionize
intelligence work, and it's going to make the 00 section obsolete, so they're going to get rid of that.
Do they need to stop saying that as well?
Yeah.
"You're bloody obsolete, Bond." They've said it every movie since maybe the 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've definitely said it since GoldenEye, and probably before that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's bloody, you know, that bloke. What's his face?
Weasel Man.
Yeah, Weasel Man.
From Sherlock.
Thank you. It's Weasel Man from
villain.
Sherlock.
He's clearly the villain.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's about Bond, I guess. I guess eventually trying to stop that. That's not really his plot point as much, but working out who's behind all the conspiracies.
Who's behind all the conspiracies?
Who is it?
Why is bad stuff always happen to good people?
Why is it?
Why is that?
We don't know. So that's all we'll talk about for that. We'll get into spoilers.
Great.
Of that.
Yep.
Of the mess that is the plot of Spectre. What did you think of the intro song/credits? That's not a spoiler, is it?
No.
It's a lot
of squids.
You know
what? It grew on me. I heard it way before, I heard it a couple of months before the movie, just in isolation, and I'm like, I don't know if I dig this so much, but in the context of the credits, in the context of this being maybe his last film, they kind of, you know, the first couple of Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, they were kind of rockier, kind of, but this feels like an ending, like an ending song
very
kind
much
of thing.
So, I didn't mind it, it's not my favorite by any stretch, because the best one is Live and Let Die. We all know that.
Is it?
What else is there?
Living Daylights. The Living Daylights.
Which is that one?
It's, I'm not going to sing it.
Okay.
Where am I?
You used to sing it.
Yeah, it's true.
Something's happened. I don't know what it is, but you've changed.
Yeah.
So that's exciting for that. But what about all the squids? A lot of squids in that opening. It was a lot of squids pulling triggers on guns.
Squids and triggers.
Squids having sex with women and stuff.
Women with ink hair.
Yeah.
Mm,
it was some kind of weird fetishes.
Yeah.
Like dream.
Oh, I remember how the Living Daylights go. It's like, "Whoa, the Living Daylights." You know that one?
I don't know.
It's great.
Sounds like a Billy Joel song, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Is it like a Billy Joel song?
No, it's more. It's if Billy Joel picked up a synthesizer,
he'd do that.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? Yeah.
He's,
look, it's no. This theme song is no From Russia with Love.
Nope.
It's no
Skyfall.
It's no bloody The Living Daylights. It's no whatever the theme to Octopussy was.
Don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Octopussy. She's got more pussies than you were expecting. I guess more than one would be more than you were expecting. Wait, I can finish this. She will give you a fright when she queefs in the night like thunder. That's how you do a song parody, guys. Anyone can do it. You just take Diamonds and Forever and you put different lyrics over the top.
I disagree that anybody could do that.
All right.
I could not do that.
Oh, wait. The theme to Octopussy is all-time high. I apologize.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That was better.
Thank you.
Presumably. Yeah, what do you think about the action sequences?
Again, see, they're edging up on sort of classic Bond.
Yes.
But they never quite...
They're not quite dumb enough?
They're not quite dumb. So, again, I have a lot of bad things to say about Skyfall.
Yeah.
But there's an opening sequence. The opening sequence in Skyfall is there's a motorcycle chase.
Yeah.
And it's sort of larger than life in the way like a Bond action, like again, a classic Roger Moore,
sure,
James Bond action sequence is. But you also get the sense that they could really do it in real life.
Yes, yes.
But there's nothing, and that to me is Bond.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years they've gone way too far.
Yes.
Like in Die Another Day, there was the classic paragliding down through a tidal wave because a satellite laser just melted an ice cap or whatever.
Yes,
remember that happened?
I remember that specifically.
Yeah, yes. That was pretty good. So they go back and forth. But again, there's a car chase in this.
Yep.
That is
They use some gadgets.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. That's what I thought for all the action sequences.
But it felt a bit, it's kind of a fairly standard chase sequence that could have been in any script.
Yes,
in any
absolutely.
Any movie. There's elements like there's your Bond gadgets.
Yep.
And there's, you know, what I feel is a classic Bond trope of he drives through a narrow laneway and there's like a little old bloke in France or whatever, and he's driving a little three-wheeled car or whatever, and he's just pottering about and Bond's like, get out of the... And then, you know, Bond will shove him aside or whatever and the little old guy will be like, sacre bleu! And then he'll drive into
Which is the hey arsehole for a French band.
Yeah, so there was
It was in Rome, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he ejector-seated.
Yeah, he did.
At some point.
That's Bond. Again, it keeps feeling like they're edging into...
Yes.
Here he is in his full-fledged Bond.
Yes.
Like, you know, if you're a guy who works at MI6 and you were just, kind of a foot soldier kind of guy or just like an intelligence gatherer.
Yeah.
And you were promoted in the 00 agency where everything's a bit crazy.
Mm.
You know, initially you would be like... This is all a little bit weird, and then you'd slowly sort of get into the
yeah. You're like, oh, okay,
like because there's a not to spoil it or anything, but there is an ejector seat in his new car,
yeah,
the DB10, and he just sort of ejects. He's in a parachute. He calmly lands on the on the street, and he just lets the parachute go, and he just walks off into the
That's
night.
That's very
like
kind of Roger Moore.
That felt like, oh yeah, he's a guy who's gotten used to this role,
yeah.
Kind of thing. Like weird stuff happens, and you just roll run with it, and. But he never
quite gets
there. The movie, Daniel Craig fully commits to it, I think.
Yeah.
But the movie itself never really commits.
See, I don't know if he's even the kind of guy that Bond fits.
Yeah.
Like, he's not great at kind of quips and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
He's good at, like, somebody says something and then he gives them a crippling insult.
Yes.
So more than he is quips.
Or an actual crippling.
Like, for the bit where the guy's like, he's like, vodka martini. And he's like, we don't do vodka martini. This is a health spa. And he's like... Go fuck yourself. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, that's his Bond.
Yeah.
He doesn't kind of do like, he doesn't dress like a clown and
sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so I don't
Classic moment from Octopussy.
Yeah. So I don't know if he really suits it anymore
yeah.
or whatever these movies are trying to do.
It's, they're just a, if you remember Casino Royale.
Yes.
And I'm sure you do.
I do.
But I felt that Casino Royale was very good at kind of, taking the tropes of Bond and giving them a little twist, like a nod and a wink of like, we know this is kind of silly.
Yeah.
Like, you know how there's so much product placement in the movies, but when Bond meets Vesper Lynn, like Eva Green's character, she's like, oh, look at that watch. Is it a Rolex? And he's like, Omega. And she's like, beautiful.
Yes.
Like it's, we know he switched from wearing Rolexes to Omegas.
Yeah.
Here's a little nod. We had to put the product placement in.
Let's just do it.
And there's the movement there's the thing on the train. There's a scene on the train where they're chatting and he's explaining he's got to go to this, he's got to go to Montenegro and he's got to beat Lashif in this poker game and do this and she's got this look and he's like, you don't think this is a very good plan, do you? And it's not, it's a ridiculous plan.
Just
freeze his assets and have him killed.
Yeah,
like, it's not difficult.
Right. That's right.
But again, I feel the subsequent movies have sort of lost that sense of humor about these kind of things. Like
humor has shifted, but it doesn't fit.
Yeah, it's
much.
Gotten they're just like, well, we've got to go with darker and grittier.
Yeah.
And I wish maybe that's just a personal taste where I would have preferred it to go lighter.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, sure.
Well, not necessarily lighter, but more
like Casino Royale.
Yeah, but more like, I feel Casino Royale set this character up to be a guy who, like, he fell in love and now he's just kind of this cold robot with the kind of like a sheen of his kind of a ladies' man.
Kind of like a Bruce Wayne. He's
robot
exactly. with a bloody...
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, well, this will be a setup for more kind of just more fun, just fun shooting and killing and whatever. But he's all sad in his heart.
He is sad in his heart.
Yeah.
Well, look, he's okay, isn't he? I guess.
I know, I like him.
I like him too, but I just don't think these movies are right for him anymore.
Uh-huh.
And you said this before, he's been coasting on Casino Royale. Not that he's bad in them.
Yeah.
But the good faith in this series stems from Casino Royale.
Yes.
Because all of the other ones are just okay.
I like this one a lot more than I like Skyfall and Quantum of Solace.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I did. I'm still kind of... It's to and fro.
Because we watched this together and we left and we were like, going to need some time to think about this.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. What about the other cast? So what about, like, we got M, we got a new M, Ralph, yep. Rafe Fiennes. Rafe, sorry,
Ralph Fiennes, Fiennes. Thank
name's
you.
Not Rafe.
It's Ralph. Stop making There's an L in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's good enough, I guess.
I like his
good.
Work.
I feel, it's good that they gave him stuff to do.
Yeah.
And he's kind of quick-witted and whatever, and he has his own little subplot.
He gets his own action moments a little bit. It, character-wise, I thought it was interesting that in the last one, he's like, we're shutting down the 00 agency or whatever.
That's right.
In this one, they're like, we're shutting down the 00 agency. And he's like, how dare you? How dare you?
I never.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess he's seen the error of his ways.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. He knows that they're kind of, you need someone to walk in and be mean and shoot people.
Uh-huh.
Moneypenny's back. She does some holding of files and walking behind.
She does some
Ray
holding
Fiennes.
Some files. She does some promoting a phone.
Yes.
In the ads immediately prior to the
film. That's correct, yeah.
Advertises and Sony.
And the Daniel Craig Heineken ad. We saw that one. That's a balls ad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Knick-knacks in it, weirdly.
Yeah.
Even though he's dead.
He's so dead.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Why him, though, of everybody?
Exactly. Because in this ad,
this
Budweiser ad that we're all talking about.
I think it's Heineken.
Heineken.
Whatever.
Yeah, it is Heineken, yeah.
Shit beer.
That's all right. The protagonist of the ad, who's just just some random woman.
Yeah.
She's got Oddjob's hat.
Yeah.
So why not put Oddjob in it?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not. I don't think it is Oddjob's hat because
it's just a regular
it's just
hat.
A top hat.
Yeah.
Because Oddjob's hat's like a bowler hat,
isn't
it?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And Daniel Craig doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Which I don't like that much.
No.
Yeah.
We were talking about this. I reckon there's some sort of clause in his contract that says he has to do reasonable amount of product placement promotion.
Yeah.
And he's just, and they're like, one day they're like, come here, come to this office. And he walks in and it's a green screen and half a boat. And he has to stand out and go, how about lunch? And then they just build a whole ad around him.
That's right. Yeah.
And then he's at the premiere or whatever and he sees it and he's like, oh God, what have I done? These, I can understand why he wants to quit.
Yeah.
Because these must be grueling to make.
Absolutely.
Really grueling.
Like, are you talking physically, mentally?
But all of those.
Or like the pressure from like the media and press and
idiots
like us who are like, be better. Be better films.
Be like other movies that I like more. Do that. We won't give you any specifics, but just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's never been the guy that's kind of comfortable with all this, is he?
No.
Yeah. Monica Bellucci.
Yep.
They made a big deal of that.
Yeah, for someone who's in the movie for 10 minutes, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe
that's,
10
that's
minutes.
Generous. But she's good, isn't it?
Sure.
I liked the new Bond girl, Leah Seydoux,
yeah.
I think her name is.
Leah Seydoux.
Yeah, I thought she... Yes.
Her father invented the Seydoux.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
She's probably not hard up for a buck.
Yeah.
But I thought she was, of the Daniel Craig era Bond girls, I thought she's been the best since Vespa.
Yep.
There's a little bit of forced kind of relationship.
Boy, is there.
There's
ever.
A particular point.
Yep.
But also it's kind of like, I just want these guys, you know, maybe he deserves some happiness. So I kind of roll with it at this
point. Sure, yeah.
Because it's been 3 or 4 movies now of him being a miserable prick.
But again, I 100% do not. Like all these Bond movies have Bond sort of, you know, here's his duty to Queen and Country.
Yep.
And bad things happen to everybody.
Yes.
But here's him falling in love. He's got to fall in love with a woman.
Yep.
I 100% do not buy it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not at all. There was not enough time.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. Yeah. Which is weird because this is a really long movie.
2 hours and 2.5 hours? 148 least, minutes, right?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But it felt like a forever time.
All right, good stuff in it. Ben Whishaw is Q.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. Finally gets he gets a Q in the field, which is great. I always enjoy
he's
that.
He's not as mean as previous Q, but I guess they both can't be mean, can they? Like Bond and Q.
No, that's true.
They're both
pricks. And he's kind of...
He makes a joke about bringing the car back in one piece, which I enjoy quite a lot.
Yes.
See, is that the kind of stuff you're talking about where they take it right to that?
Yes, exactly.
Basically, he makes a joke because in the previous film, his Aston Martin explodes.
Yes.
And they're like, I told you to bring it back. Well, he goes, I told you to bring it back in one piece, not bring back one piece.
Oh,
and then he kind of has a laugh to himself.
But it's more like, exactly.
Yeah.
And he's got that, I don't know, he's, you can tell he's a good guy and he's willing to kind of bend the rules a little bit.
Yes.
You know, this current Q branch isn't a Q branch that makes gadgets necessarily.
Not as much, yeah.
Not as much, but the rules, he's been told Bond's gone rogue too many times. Don't help him out in any way. But then he's like, take this watch. The alarm's very loud on it, kind of thing.
And Bond's like, what?
Yeah.
Be specific.
I would have liked it very much if they'd gotten to a point where he needs to use that watch. It goes out there and it just goes beep, beep, beep. And he's like, oh, I thought there was a bomb. He was being literal. I'm such an idiot. Now I'm doomed. But that's not what happened.
Speaking of idiots. Yes. Christoph Waltz's character.
Oh, yes.
Who we'll talk about more in spoilers, but
everybody knows.
The fluffy white cat is out of the bag, as it were.
He was very restrained for Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, sure. And for a Bond film.
Yeah.
For a cartoon man.
Yeah. For a man who is famous for just chewing up scenery.
Yeah.
Playing a character who is very famous for I don't know. All sorts of stuff.
All sorts of shenanigans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very restrained.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think they're going to throw him into the sequel, right?
Yeah.
Or they're saying that...
Well, or a version of that. Or,
yeah. Or perhaps the events of this film are going to cause him to be much bigger in the next film.
Sure, absolutely.
I think that might be the key.
I see. Because of the way that this has been received, I don't know how this is going to end up going. Kind of next time around.
I'm 100% sure where it's going to go.
Oh, that's true. You did say a thing about it, and I didn't disagree.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, that was interesting. You said that actually as soon as we came out.
And Andrew Scott is Max Denby. He's the guy from Sherlock.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. He's a guy.
Oh, and can we mention a Bond villain who I really liked? Dave Bautista and Mr. Hinks.
There we go.
I thought he was really good.
Sure.
Says one word the whole movie.
He does.
Yeah.
Did you like his little metal... thumbs.
I don't understand what his gimmick is.
Pulling out eyes.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think he's got like bionic thumbs or anything.
No, he's just got metal thumbnails.
He's got metal thumbnails, yeah.
I guess the diamond face has diamond face.
Yeah.
Jaws has Jaws the shark
in
a briefcase.
Look, I just like in his initial appearance,
he just
arrives and he kills somebody.
Yep.
And I thought at the time, like, oh, he's just, you know, he's a generic villain and he just breaks necks or whatever. But he really grew on me as a character.
Sure.
He was delightful and stylish.
Yes, he was very stylish.
He had that gun that
had
two barrels.
Gun. Yeah. Yeah, he probably made it himself.
Yeah.
Actually, that's probably a real gun.
No, it is. It's a real gun.
Really?
Yeah, that's a real thing. They're quite rare, but they exist.
Yeah, quite rare because they're dumb. And
they're real dumb. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
There we go. You know what? Of all the Bond films that I think I've ever seen.
Yes.
And I don't even know if I've seen them all. Who cares? This felt like the most like a sequel of any of them. Because it's like, do you remember this previous thing? Do you remember this villain? Here's a picture of them.
Yeah.
Even in the opening credits, it's like, here's Vesper Lynn. It's a bit where he picks up the tape that says Vesper Lynn torture scene. Or
Yeah. From the movie Casino Royale. Yeah. I get the sense that they had to go to like their legal team and go, we need to show some of the previous characters from these movies, but we don't want to pay anyone.
Yeah.
What can we do? And the lawyer's like, oh, just get an A4 photo of their face and just stick it on a wall. Then you won't have to pay them.
Color?
They're like, no black and white.
Black and white.
Kind of low-res black and white. And they're like, genius! And they've ticked it off.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of that. Though, I feel like they really brushed over Quantum. They mention Green occasionally. Like, he comes up.
Uh-huh.
But there's a bit in the end where you kind of see the pictures of the different villains and Green's not there. Like, you see Lashif.
Yes.
You see Fishface, Silver. And you see Vesper.
But
you don't see, Green. I think maybe M's there. I don't care. It's not important. But so there's a lot of that. And I think this movie... Actually, I've got a letter here about this.
I'm ready.
Tell me if you agree with this. I just saw Spectre and I have to admit I thought it was terrible for many reasons. One particular reason was the point that you guys brought up in your Daniel Craig era Bond episode. Namely, Bond films follow all trends but set none. I felt like this was an attempt to copy an MCU movie. There are a lot of nods to the other Bond films that I believe were meant to serve as Easter eggs, but were so blatantly forced in. Furthermore, the plot seemed to be a ripoff of The Winter Soldier. The evil organization infiltrates the good guys to launch a global surveillance system, so the hero must fight off his childhood friend to save the day.
Yeah. That is very true. Although I would say that Quantum of Solace essentially did that already.
Yeah.
Quantum was very much... oh, hey, we had this evil organization in our organization the whole time.
Good point.
And
yeah.
It's the best, and we had no idea, and they're the best.
So this was just kind of like,
hey, here's more of this.
We'll just do a better version of Quantum.
Yeah, yeah. Now they have the rights back to Spectre.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, though? That like, they're all, it's a lot of, like, it feels like it's trying to build this shared universe.
Yeah.
But after the fact.
It is odd, isn't it? Because we've only...
Spoilers now, I guess.
Look, arguably we've only got one movie left, or no movies left, yeah, with Daniel Craig in it. So it is way too late to be like, hey, here's this whole new universe, because yeah, after the next one, we're getting a new Bond, presumably.
YeYeah.
So
exactly.
What a waste of time.
Spoilers from now. Best movie ever, cool, or worst movie ever?
Okay, as a... Oh, here we go. As a sequel, worst movie ever.
Yep.
As a action movie, I'm going to say best movie ever.
Because
there's some
pretty
good action. It feels like a pretty good, solid, pulpy action movie. If this was unrelated to any Bond or anything like that, yeah, it was a different character, I'd be like, this is pretty good. If it was just a spy movie, I'd be like, I enjoyed this. It's good, solid. As a Bond film, I'm going to say worst movie ever.
Yep.
Because they just had to shoehorn in,
yeah,
what we're going to talk about in spoilers. It now, just... Yeah. Why bother?
See, the thing is, I have to say worst, even though I liked parts of it.
Yep.
But every time someone's like, what did you think? Should I see it? I'm kind of like, I can't definitively say that you should ever see this.
Uh-huh.
Even on... I guess if it's on TV... But
yeah, okay.
But there are action sequences, and you know, Craig is good. Everybody is good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, they are being paid a lot of money to be good. So if they weren't,
look, it's not terrible, but I can't recommend it.
No, that's fair. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's talk spoilers. I'm gonna see it again, though.
I'm not.
Okay. It's and again, too I say long. That. I say that a lot. But
you'd say that about Edge of Tomorrow, yeah, almost every week.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Blofeld.
Okay.
So, it turns out the main villain...
I think you mean Franz Oberhauser.
I do not.
No, that's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, it turns out, yes, that this whole time, everything that's happened in Bond's life,
yep,
every tragedy has, yep, been manufactured from what's his name?
Ernst
Stavros Blofeld, who changed his name to that.
Yep.
Now, I don't think... the reveal... I mean, we saw it coming from 1,000 miles away.
Yes, we did.
And the big problem with this movie I found is... Just get to the thing. Because, yeah, there's a lot of Bond walking around going, what's the mystery? What's this? Who, yeah, are you? How is this connected?
I felt they didn't make it entirely clear when he goes to the Spectre meeting that he knew Oberhauser already.
Oh, really?
Like I felt it was a little bit vague.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like, look up Franz Oberhauser. And I'm like, what? How do you know? Like,
yeah.
There's no... I mean, I get it now. Yeah, I've seen the movie. I understand.
Post-haste.
Yeah, post, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Post-haste, yeah, doesn't work,
no,
does it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think the twist was as bad as the Khan Star Trek twist.
No, because... go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because that was like, it was a big deal. It was kind of like, I am Khan!
And there was the musical, yeah, sting. And everyone's like people who were fans of Star Trek were like, but wouldn't he look like the other Khan? Yeah. What's going on? This doesn't make any sense. And people who were not fans of the old Star Trek were like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Was that in the previous movie? We don't remember. But this one, the reveal here, I feel, was just, there was no big sting or whatever. He was just like, I changed my name,
yeah,
to my mother's name. I just changed it.
Because I hate my father. Because I hate my father. And you're a dickhead.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Look, on the one hand, a man who would kill his own father,
yes,
because his father got along better with some other kid.
Yeah.
Is exactly the kind of person who would build a giant criminal empire.
Yeah, sure.
But at the same time, I do not like the fact that he happens to be James Bond's big brother.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Is so...
Yeah, what
we've
are
talked,
the odds?
We've talked many times about how I don't like the fact that there's, yep, all this destiny that's been woven, yep, into these new Bond films. Just have him be a guy.
And it's ridiculous that, like...
He could be a guy Bond met in military training.
That's right.
Or something like that. He could have any other link.
He could be a guy that Bond had never met, but, yep, Bond had come close to catching without even knowing it.
Yeah.
Which is what he even says.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, why does he have to know him?
Yeah.
Why do they have to have snow holidays together when
exactly,
they were kids?
Exactly, yeah.
But even things like, what if Bond, and this guy has dedicated so much of his life to ruining James Bond, right? Yep. 3 or 4 movies at least.
Yeah.
What if James Bond turned out to be a gardener? What if he'd gone and like salt the earth at night where he was doing his gardening?
Oh, please.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It just happens to be that he's the world's best secret agent.
Mm.
Like, it's nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
Not that's ever happened, but.
Oh, time for another day. Me, James Bond, world's greatest ice cream man. I'll just go to my truck and, oh no, someone turned the fridge off. All my ice cream's melted. It's ruined. And then Blofeld's just twirling his mustache.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Why?
Why indeed?
Yeah, you're right.
So yeah.
What are the odds they both become
good at a particular
thing?
Yeah,
like weird espionage. Why? Yeah, what are the odds they both become different sides of the same super espionage coin?
Look, it would have made sense if Bond was a gardener, Blofeld would have had to have been a concreter, maybe.
Oh, yeah, and he gets... Yeah, totally.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
You know that you talked about the plane sequence... Oh, sorry, the action sequence in particular being ridiculous.
Yeah.
But maybe not ridiculous enough.
Uh-huh.
I thought that plane sequence...
Was too ridiculous? Just
for these movies, yes.
Uh-huh.
Because... The cars leave. There's a bit where they kidnap the girl and Hicks, and they drive off in the snow. Good to see the snow back. Love that.
It's good to see Bond in the snow.
And then Bond just rocks up in a plane.
Yep.
From I don't know how he got that.
When it's not important. He had it in his pocket.
Yeah, I know it was there, but how did he get there so quickly? And then not only that, he gets the wings clipped off, and then he's bloody steering it through the snow. Is that how a plane works?
Probably.
Not.
Probably. We don't know. Yeah. We're no experts.
It's things like that. Mm. Really, like what era is this?
And also, there's two parts of the movie where the only reason he leaves the bad guys alive is so they can menace him later.
Yes.
Like Hinks, there's that plane crash sequence.
Yeah.
He crashes into the truck. Hinks goes through the windshield.
Yep.
Bond would know he's still alive.
Yeah.
Like, he's a huge guy. You check at least. You shoot him in the head. And Bond would shoot him in the head.
Yep, absolutely.
But he doesn't. Solely because in the plot requires Hinks to later show up on the train.
That's right.
Him.
Yeah.
And again, there's the scene where he's being tortured.
Yep.
And then he gets Miss Seydoux to throw the watch and it blows up. And he just leaves Blofeld there. He doesn't kill him.
No.
He just takes off. And I guess that is more justified than he's been injured and his brain's all goop at this point.
Sure.
It's been swizzled about.
I want to talk about that as well. Yeah.
But just why didn't you kill him?
Or at the end.
Yeah.
But
just
anyway,
kill him
we should get to that. Speaking of the train sequence though.
Yes.
Great fight.
I like the fight a lot, yeah.
Hinks gets
set on fire and he doesn't seem all that perturbed about it, which I think was good.
Where was everybody?
And where is everybody afterwards?
Exactly.
Where did they all go?
He's like, so they maybe fight through three or four carriages.
Including the dining car.
The dining where there's people in it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they kind of leave. And then Bond's like, let's have sex.
Yeah.
And nobody comes up to him and is like, hey.
Hey, what happened here?
What?
We're calling the police.
Yeah.
The police are arriving by helicopter. Because police can do that.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Because it's whatever.
And then they're just like, hey, just let us off here, please.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Bit in the middle of the desert. And they're like, okay.
We will.
You're right. They did a lot of property damage.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of broken windows.
Yep.
Just a lot of bullets flying. Nobody says anything. Unless everybody else on the train was killed.
That's possible, I guess.
Flattened. That guy had that double gun.
He did have that double gun. That was a great fight. I enjoy that fight a lot. Yeah. Dave Bautista and... They're a good match.
I think so too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he could be back.
Mr. Hinks.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Because
I want to see him back.
We didn't see him. I mean,
we don't know what he.
Well, that would have killed anybody.
But. No, but see, that's the thing. He's the new
exactly.
Jaws.
Exactly. He's
and
the
Jaws. And you can't kill Jaws.
No.
So it's entirely possible that he landed in some soft scrub.
Yeah. Or even if he didn't.
It's fine.
It's just impossible he's alive. It's just possible he's alive. Even though he gets wrenched by his neck out of a speeding train.
True.
I feel like he could be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One suggestion of what his ability, like his weird henchman ability was, is he had like a reinforced spine. There's no evidence of that in the movie, but somebody mentioned that on a podcast or something like that. And I'm like, if he had something like that, he could live maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Or they could put it in after he was mangled, after he fell out of a train. Basically, I want to see him back.
Yeah, definitely.
And I want to see him eventually make peace with Bond.
And go to space.
And then fall in love with a really tiny woman and float off into space.
Yeah, that's the dream.
Yeah, isn't it though?
Yeah, I feel like there's a maybe not a good chance, but there's a chance he'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Craig didn't shoot him in the head.
Because And this was theorized, and I think it's a lot of people theorized before this movie came out, this is just going to be on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes.
It turns out it's just on Her Majesty's Secret Service Part 1.
Yes, that's
because
right.
Because he falls in love with this woman all too quickly, and he drives off into the distance, into the sunset.
And that's what you said when we left. You said the only thing that you were kind of like, oh, what's going to happen was, are they going to kill her like they did in Her Majesty's Secret Service? But they'll get to that.
They'll get to that next time around.
Well, you had an idea, though, that the next film, if it is that and Craig leaves, they keep everybody but Craig as a kind of a sweet transition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so that's because Daniel, like we've said a whole bunch of times, Daniel Craig is contracted for one more movie.
And Heineken ad.
Oh, now I'm in space. Oh, Heineken. Little space pack of Heineken.
They get him again. Yeah. He turns up. It's a green screen room.
There's a space shuttle.
God damn it.
Yeah. Mr. Hinks is there in like a big silver jumpsuit with a fish bowl on his head. He's like, I don't know how they got me either. They said it was for a WWE shoot. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, but I think if he figures out a way to weasel his way out of this, to crash through the plywood door of not doing another movie, I reckon it's entirely possible they'll just switch bonds and they'll leave Sidhu and Q and M and all those characters, Moneypenny, and just pretend nothing happened.
I'd agree with that.
Like, I'm sure, you know, people will be like, that's so weird, I don't understand. But if you annoyed a movie production company enough, I reckon they could do. I reckon there's probably examples in the past of them just replacing a star in a movie and going, how about that? What do you reckon?
Don Cheadle, Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not the main character necessarily.
No.
In a way, he was the main character.
Well, they switched out. Sean Connery was like, I'm done with this shit.
So they kept everybody else. Moneypenny and M and Q and all those guys. You're right, absolutely.
Yeah, I think...
In fact, this is the franchise with the most precedent for that. I didn't even think of that.
But it's not what it used to be in the sense that they've fucking tied themselves up in so much continuity and history and whatever that it will be weird if they do that.
Oh, it'll be really weird.
Because everything's connected
because
it never used to be like that. If this was just missions as they should be, you could just swap him out.
Yeah. No, you can't. Be weird.
Yeah. I mean, they can, obviously. Yeah.
And we'd all, as an audience, have to, like, not acknowledge it. Because they couldn't do it in story and go, well, he's had a small amount of plastic surgery and now he's a different Bond and he's 2 inches shorter or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Wouldn't work.
Yeah, or taller.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah.
The torture scene.
Yes.
What did you think of that?
Weird.
Yes.
Weird, and it didn't really... It was too complicated and then it didn't work out the way it was supposed to work. Like, he's like, I'm going to put this drill in your brain and then you'll forget everyone you haven't met. And then he puts the drill in his brain and he pulls it out and she's like, do you still recognize me? And he's like, yep.
See, I thought for a second maybe he was pretending and I would have been like, that's cool, because he wouldn't have let it get to him.
Right.
And just be like, just go with it. Because he's smart enough to know, well, that's what's happened.
Yep.
But I must know who this is. So I thought and then maybe he gets his memory back later or whatever.
You know what would have worked, though?
Anything else?
No, yes.
A rope with a knot in the end being whipped in the nuts?
Right in the balls.
Yeah.
But that would work. Again, it's too late for all these things. It's too late to build Bond. You built Bond at Casino Royale, should have just had Bond movies after that, but you didn't. You had to keep just building on this. What they should have done, I thought where it was going was, they drilled into his brain.
Yeah.
He didn't recognize different women anymore.
Okay.
And that's Bond.
Okay.
Like, he just sees them all as exactly the same. That's why he's like that. Because he's like, I don't understand. Like, they're all interchangeable. That's why he's such a jerk all the time. Because he genuinely doesn't recognize them as being different people.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Because they didn't do that.
Because it's very Bond, but it's also Daniel Craig sad. Like, it's both. It's both.
Yeah.
You, well done.
Yeah.
Unless he does have that and we're not aware of it.
Yeah, well, maybe that's in the next one. He'd be like,
As soon as the lights switch on and he's in a weird silver torture chair, I'm like, no, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And then there's a weird CGI drill that's got like an arm unfolds behind his head.
Look, I found it very unpleasant.
Yeah, it's unpleasant.
Which is good for a torture
scene.
Yeah, but uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And he kind of stopped Blofeld from monologuing. Monologuing? Is that the word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, shut your mouth. I'd rather die. Just stick the torch. Just stick needles in my brain. I don't care. I've been whipped in the balls. You remember? You were there probably. I don't know. Yeah.
What did you think of the villain's base? It was a nice kind of callback to the...
It was a nice call to your classic Bond.
Until you've got an exposed bloody gas canister where you put one bullet in it and the whole thing goes up.
Yeah, see again, that's... Yeah,
that's the exploding hotel from Quantum. That's what that is.
That's the exploding embassy from bloody Casino Royale.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a weird convention that even realistic movies have, that if you shoot a gas tank, it blows up. It never worked.
No,
They did it on Mythbusters.
Did they?
They did it and they just shot hundreds of rounds into like different... And eventually they... Because you know in Mythbusters they sort of have to get it
eventually.
They were like, okay, they went to some military supplier and they got like explosive tipped incendiary bullets.
Okay.
And then they got it to work.
Good.
And like...
Is that what he had?
No, just regular bullets.
He didn't even have a double gun.
Didn't have a double single gun.
What if the two bullets kind of clipped together and made a little spark?
Oh.
We'll never know.
We'll never know, because he fell out this bloody side of a train, didn't he?
I think he did. I think that was the biggest...
Maybe he'll come back with a triple gun.
Oh, imagine. 1 point backwards.
Oh, that's the gun. You know, that's... You really got to believe... You really got to have beliefs to
Absolutely
use that gun.
Absolutely you do, yeah.
Shoot yourself.
I think that was the biggest explosion of all time, or the biggest movie explosion.
Oh, really?
Or one
that makes sense,
like.
Yeah.
It looked
so that was
great.
Live.
Yeah, it was live. Wow. It seemed like it was.
Now... Upon watching that, I'm like, did they do that in one take or did they green screen Daniel Craig
it looks
and
real,
Cedo into it?
But they can do it good enough now that you don't notice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because...
There is a featurette on it. I haven't watched it.
If I were Daniel Craig and I cared about this franchise at all, I would feel a lot of pressure there.
Yeah.
Because what if you flub your line while the world's biggest explosion is happening?
Didn't they turn away from the camera? So they could have been like, they could have RDO'd
over
the top of it.
That's true,
like,
yeah.
What an explosion. What a big explosion.
I hate being here. I hate being in these movies. I hate it. Leave me alone. I wish I could dive into that explosion. Maybe I will.
Is it too late?
Oh, it's probably too late. Oh. Yeah.
Great.
Great stuff.
You know what was weird?
What's that?
At the end where they return to old MI5, which I liked.
MI6.
MI6, I apologize. But they merged them, so
who knows?
Oh,
who knows?
What?
Yeah.
What's
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
And they take Bond in there and he's got a bag on his head.
Yeah.
And then he kills the two henchmen somehow.
Straight away, yeah.
And then when he walks up, there's like an arrow. It says James Bond and an arrow.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Blofeld knew he was going to kill those guys and go through a weird, like, maze?
That's a really good question.
Do you see what I'm saying?
See what you're saying? Maybe that's just for the henchmen.
Yeah, like, but why is he putting up bloody black and white photos of all his past?
Yeah, that
like
is...
he would have had to have run off all those copies, and he was the only one in there. It looked like. I mean, maybe somebody else put them up.
And your bloody printer's always jamming.
Yeah, exactly.
Let alone one that hasn't been blown up. But all the printers in MI6 would have been blown up.
There had to have been a moment where he requested that they run off those pictures and print them off, and he's like, okay, we'll put one here.
Yeah.
We'll put one here.
That's a good point. Maybe they were supposed to go in and take the hood off and then drag him around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a carnival ride.
Like a carnival ride, exactly.
That makes some sense.
I had another thought about James Bond. What was it? MI6.
He should have shot Blofeld in the head at the end.
Yeah, he really should have.
Daniel Craig Bond will kill anybody for any reason.
Correct.
And he let him go.
Yeah.
But again, he let him go.
Because of love.
Because of friends.
Your friends and love.
Oh, no, yeah. I guess that, I mean, like you said, they let him go so he can come back.
Oh, the thought was, I was going to mention a pre-spoilers, but we finally had a resolution to how many Aston Martin DB5s there are. There are two.
Right.
There's the one there's the one, well... There's no need to... Okay, basically, in Casino Royale, he wins one.
Yep.
Right, because the classic James Bond car is the Aston Martin DB5.
Yep.
In Casino Royale, he wins one in like a backstreet poker game.
Yep.
And then then it's never mentioned again.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Skyfall, he has to rescue M. He has to drive him away from it. And then he opens like a garage door and there's another DB5.
Yeah.
Right, which has weird Q branch stuff in it, like machine guns and ejector seats.
Yeah.
And it's never explained, is that a different one or is it the same one? And I had a number of theories, none of which make any sense, but it turns out the second one belonged to MI6 and Q loaned it out to him.
Okay, there you go. Great. And he came back for it at the end.
Yes.
Do you reckon they did that because people were like, I missed all that.
Uh-huh.
It was like, the problem was it was so few and far between interesting things happening in this movie.
Yes.
And then Blofeld turns up like maybe 40 minutes in and then he disappears for an hour and a half.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And then he turns up at the end and he's like, I'm scarred. I'm Blofeld that you know from the movies.
Yeah.
I mean, from life. from our lives.
Yep.
Yeah, whatever.
Pretty good.
The scars
right?
are pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, it was all right.
It's a good CGI.
Probably
scar.
Shave his head in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Should have shot him on the bridge.
Should have shot him on the bridge in front of everybody.
Yes.
And then he could have just opened his wallet and he's got License to Kill on it. He's like, look, everyone. Jealous. Jealous, everyone. And then he just bloody shoots somebody else in the crowd. He's like, I can do this all night, ladies and gentlemen. All night.
So he, what was I going to say?
Also, she knows that he's killed a whole bunch of people.
She's seen him do
she's
it.
She's seen him do it. What's one more?
Exactly.
What difference does it make to her?
Is it just to prove to himself that he doesn't have to do it?
I guess so.
But I think he should have done it.
Should have done it.
I would have done it, and yeah. I've never killed anybody, right. But I would kill that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's mean.
Yeah. He put that drill in your brain.
Exactly.
He could have been like, oh, you drilled through the part of my brain that prevents me from killing unarmed men. This is on you. Bang. He didn't.
Maybe he didn't recognize him because of
exactly.
the drill through the brain.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. Look, it's pretty balls, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't
look real good
it.
Though.
It looked great.
Sam Mendes once again. He makes a
okay. What about okay? I got one more thing. I guess that's kind of dumb. At the start, they do an awesome helicopter
his
barrel roll.
His suits fit better because he's not as
he's
as
not
buff.
As ripped, is he? Yeah. Notice they didn't go shirtless yeah. except for the opening song, uh-huh. but that was all kind of shadowed and
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and whatever.
Yeah. But that is the solution.
Definitely
stop being so ripped, Daniel Craig. And your suits will fit
your
better.
Your dickhead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm, you weird potato.
But sorry, you were saying.
At the start, well, so he chases a guy into a helicopter. Great helicopter stunt, I guess.
Yep.
Because they actually did that.
Yeah.
But the first thing he does, he jumps in the helicopter, it takes off, and he starts punching the pilot in the head.
Yeah.
Like, leave the pilot. The pilot will fly.
Leave the pilot to last. Yeah.
Kill the guy with the ponytail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who Monica Bellucci hates or whatever.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
And that makes
why
sense.
Why is he? I mean, he's a mad dog. You said he's a wild man. Yeah. Like, what's he doing? Anyway.
And a helicopter is not the kind of... A helicopter is not the kind of vehicle that will just fly on its own.
No, it's
like you need
not.
Two control. If you let go of either of them, it will crash.
Yes.
Like it's 90% certain it will crash if they let go of the thing. They're much harder to fly than like a plane.
No, exactly. It's not the kind of thing you can kind of free fall and easily get out of it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's possible, I guess, but whatever. Yeah.
See, that edged very close to that Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Okay, sure.
Where they're in a helicopter. I think they're in a helicopter.
I've never seen it.
No, but it was real bad.
I don't like him.
They restart a helicopter in midair.
Don't they do that? Oh, he does it in a plane in GoldenEye.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a plane.
Yeah,
it's up and down,
it's
mate.
Aerodynamic. It can,
exactly.
You can just, but you can't do that with a helicopter. It doesn't work. The bloody rotors will just fall off.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There was a kind of sense of tension, though, with all the people. But then again, I'm like, even though I'm like, a lot of this helicopter stuff is real.
Yeah.
Obviously, those people aren't.
Yes, that's true.
So it's like, who cares about...
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares about these people?
Yeah.
These
and also, people. Like, if you're on unofficial business,
yes,
getting some revenge,
mm.
don't punch a pilot of the helicopter that's above thousands of people.
Correct.
Imagine how poorly that would have been. Because he would have lived somehow. Bond would have survived.
Yeah,
and just
definitely.
Tumbled out. And then he has to go back to MI6 and be like, oh, yeah, I crashed a helicopter in a crowd and I killed hundreds of people.
God. He's a monster.
He's a mad dog.
He's a wild
He's
man.
The loosest unit there is.
Yes. Got some letters here, though.
I'm ready.
About Spectre,
oh, yes.
specifically. It's from Kevin. I went and saw Spectre tonight and I found it was satisfying. I don't have a ton of negative things to say, but I went, but the movie was serviceable. I liked how Q was in it more. The car chasey scene was good. The cinematography, especially the start, was particularly impressive. And the landscape established shots were good. All in all, I think I'd give it best movie ever. But I think Waltz could have done a little bit more to grab me as a villain. That being said, it's just a bloody movie. None of this actually matters. Oh, sorry.
Our ethos.
None of this
it
really
is slowly
actually
spreading.
Honestly matters. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Another letter here. It's from Ike. No, sorry, IXE. How do you pronounce that? Ix.
Ixie.
Ixie. As far as Blofeld being responsible for all the other movies, it didn't make him seem that threatening. He was basically just saying that he was a bad guy instead of actually doing anything. That and I don't believe he actually had any hand in the events of Skyfall. I can't buy him overseeing a group like Quantum. Sorry, I can buy him overseeing a group like Quantum, but I'm pretty sure he was just taking credit for Javier Bardem's vendetta against M.
Yeah. Like see, I was going to mention that. It does kind of feel like if you've been surveilling Bond for a really long time.
Yeah.
And you've seen, you know, all his love interests die and all these bad things happen. It would make sense to take credit, even if you didn't do it.
Sure.
But then it's also weird that he made like a PowerPoint presentation about it. That's a step too far, don't you think?
Yeah, it really is. Guys are loon.
But yeah, again, I don't like the idea that there's this one overarching
yeah.
thing. I like, it makes more sense to be like, these things are of his own doing in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Vespa died because he let his guard down and loved and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Not because bloody Blofeld was there.
Because his brother did it.
Yeah.
Last letter. It's from Sol. Hey, James and Mason. I went to see Spectre last night and I didn't enjoy it very much. I found it really boring as I haven't really seen any of the other movies except Skyfall, which was all right. So I spent the entire movie just being really confused about who all these people were and why they were doing things. It's a valid point.
It's a valid point, yeah.
Which is why they should just be do a mission.
Yeah.
There's the next one. It can't just be a mission.
It's the second half of Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Or...
he even meets her at the bloody clinic. Like,
yeah,
he, bloody
he does.
Tracing
exactly.
And the bloody...
Okay, before we go...
And the bloody... the father is the son... because he says... Mr. White's... it doesn't matter.
What's with the what now?
It's similar. He says he's going to protect...
oh, okay, right. I don't remember the other one. Yeah. But, yeah. People like it. So the future of the series we talked about, I wanted to ask you about that, but we covered that. But where do you rank this in terms of the Daniel Craig Bond films?
I feel it's number two.
Okay.
In the sense that it's poop. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I threw you for a loop there. No,
I think part of you believes that, though.
I know. I think it's I Casino Royale, Spectre.
Yep. You don't really remember Quantum, do you?
So no, I'm going to say Skyfall, Quantum of Solace.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, it's probably a better film than Skyfall, but Skyfall was kind of, at least it kind of flowed better and he kind of did things.
Mm.
It was more nonsense. Skyfall was probably more nonsense, but it was more interesting and I wasn't just waiting for the next thing to happen that I thought was going to happen and then the next thing happened.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think I enjoyed Skyfall more, but yeah, definitely Casino Royale is better. Having watched Quantum recently, it's not that much worse, if it is worse than Quantum.
Right. Uh-huh.
Quantum, and that's amazing because nobody wrote Quantum.
Sure, it was out because
it happened in the writer's strike.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm too close, like this film, I just saw it. So I'm too close to make a definitive kind of call on it. But yeah, it's not, if it's better than Quantum, it's not by much, in my opinion.
Right.
Just, can we, I don't know, man.
No, it's too late.
Just get the guy back who made Goldfinger. Not Goldfinger. Golden
Eye. No, Goldfinger.
Yeah. Golden Eye and bloody Casino Royale. It's the same director. He also made Green Lantern, which isn't very good.
No.
But I can't remember.
Just keep him away from Magic Rings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then...
And Octopus Rings.
Exactly. And Octopus Rings. So I don't know. I think it's time for we're probably going to get another Craig one, but it's time to shake it up, man.
Yeah.
Bloody shake it up.
What if in the next one, Seydoux is killed immediately?
Okay.
And then there's... Seydoux's killed in the cold open.
Yep.
Then it's like 1 year later and he's just doing a mission.
Great.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
They won't do that.
They won't.
Great.
Absolutely not. It'll be just another 2.5 hours of just the same.
Of Destinies.
Yeah, Destinies.
Yeah. Good Lord. All right. That'll do it.
Yep.
You know what it's time for then?
What we reading?
What we...
gonna read. That's how it goes now.
It is. I'm doing the thing. What did you read it? Well, you threw out the call last week, didn't you?
Well, I threw out the call last week. I asked listeners to tell me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because...
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
There we go.
We'll
thank
find
you.
It.
Yeah, we'll bloody find it. Or just that, at us.
Yeah, whatever.
Or
both.
Yeah. I said, because I had said that I didn't have an A-plus show that I watched every week.
Mm-hmm.
And people delivered, I tell you what.
Yeah.
They've come up with a lot of really good... and I just said, I need an A-plus show. Like, it's your favorite show.
Yep.
It has to be on right now.
Yep.
It can't be... the last one was 2 years ago or whatever. It can't be Firefly or whatever. has to be on now. Your favorite show. You watch it every week. You tune in.
Bring back Firefly. Yeah.
Overwhelmingly...
petition.
People,
sorry.
Yeah. Overwhelmingly, people said Fargo.
Yes.
Season 2 is out now. I've seen the first two episodes of season 1.
Yep.
And then I think I was distracted because I probably had to watch Game of Thrones for this thing or something.
Sure.
I don't know. But yeah, I've seen it. It looks really great. And apparently the current season is set prior.
Yes.
It's set
did decades
prior.
Did we talk about this earlier this week?
We might have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look a real good
show. I got up to date on Fargo this week because of that. People kept tweeting about it.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. It's as good as, like, True Detective season 2 was a disappointment compared to 1. This is easily on par, as of so far, with the first season. It's awesome in the sense that there's a retired cop who's the father of the woman in the first one, in the first season, and this is a flashback to him being a cop in the late 70s, because you find out in the first series that some big event happened to him,
yep.
and they don't really touch on it. And then this is just all this.
Oh, I see. And is it the same actor?
No, it's the guy who plays Night Owl.
Oh, Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson.
Great.
And he's
fantastic.
Amazing.
Very
it's
good.
An amazing series.
All right, I'm going to get on to that.
And Meth Damon's in it as well.
I love Meth Damon from Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
very good.
He's good.
There's a whole bunch here. Last Man on Earth. Enjoy that.
Great show.
Kind of lost track of it, but still good.
Yep.
Peaky Blinders.
What is that?
It's got Cillian Murphy. It's set in the bloody, I don't know, Prohibition era or something like
sure.
that. Looks pretty good. I think Peaky Blinders is probably the most British thing anyone's ever said.
It sounds like something my parents watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's good though.
Yeah. The Nick, which is, it's got Clive Owen in it.
Okay.
And it's a medical drama set sort of right at the beginning of like
Scrubs season two.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. But it's sort of like, it's set in a real life hospital that was sort of at the forefront of medical, like surgery, like
okay.
in the 1910s, maybe, I think. Looks real good. Looks
great.
Real good.
Just like pre-World War One.
And I think it's a show that there's no makeup on the show. Like,
oh,
nobody
really?
Has, so that's odd, right?
How's Clive Owen look?
Ooh. I mean, not great, but not worse.
Sure.
Yeah.
He could have been
bad. Ash versus Evil Dead. Yeah. Evil Dead TV series.
The problem with that show is...
Yes.
There's no problem with it.
Okay.
I have never seen those movies.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like...
All you need to do is see
two and
three.
Oh,
no,
three.
Just three. Just three is fine.
Okay.
Because that's three has a recap of the first two in it.
Oh, okay.
And one is a horror film, two is a horror comedy.
I've seen the reboot.
Three is basically just a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
With some horror elements to it.
Yeah.
Is Bruce Campbell in the remake at all?
No, but they may be in the same universe. They've hinted that they might be, which is interesting. Yeah.
Okay. A whole bunch of other stuff. The Leftovers were recommended. I don't know what that is. I assume it's a...
Some kind of dish?
No, I imagine it's a... You know, what are you... Like a rapture kind of situation?
Oh, okay, right.
Something like that. Here's one.
How did you think I'd get rapture from you doing that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like you're opening it.
I like the trunk of a car.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then the rapture's in there.
Okay, right.
Yeah. That's how you get raptured. You jump in the boot of your car and you close the lid and
drive it into a lake.
Yeah. How to Get Away with Murder is
apparently very good.
I've
heard a lot of good things
and
about
also
that.
There's the often you'll see on the Twitters you'll see hashtag #HTGAWM. And every time I see that, I think, How I Met Your Mother. But it's not that. It's something else. And a whole bunch of other stuff, but also Limitless.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Limitless
same,
TV series.
Same universe
Same
as
universe,
well. Yeah.
But Bradley Cooper is now a senator.
Yes.
And he has given the Limitless drug to someone who is now working with the FBI, I think.
Yeah, because he's like, be Limitless.
Now, Limitless the movie, I turned off halfway through because it was so boring.
I liked
but,
it. But yeah.
Look, I'll give the show a crack.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, so... A bunch of stuff. But realistically, what I'm going to watch this week is every episode of Doctor Who I haven't watched yet.
And a bit of Jessica
that
Jones.
Next week.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, Doctor Who next week.
Yep.
Hunger Games next week.
Jessica
and
Jones.
Following week, Jessica Jones.
Yeah, cool, man.
And it's going to be a good time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Not guaranteed.
No.
Oh, yeah. Did I mention that Fargo was what I was reading?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's great.
Seems like you're reading a lot less shows than I am, my friend.
All right, well, you know, we got to do some letters because that's what we do, I guess, when we talk about, we have letters, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But there's something about a theme song that you
explained. Oh, is there?
Yes, there is.
Ooh!
Do you want me to break it down?
Why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, my God. All right. So, basically, every week I refuse to edit in a letters theme because it involves...
He refuses!
You're bloody twisting it
around. Twist it around.
Because it involves more work for me. So what
I mean,
we do
not that much more work, but still.
Slightly more.
Yeah.
For me. So what we do, if you want to write any kind of letters theme, I think this week we said spy theme, but it could be literally anything, and it might not be what you actually have today.
It is not.
If you put it up on YouTube and then tweet it at Mason with, say, it's a letters theme, and then he'll pick one, any one of them, and then he'll play it through his phone into the microphone. And that way...
It's the only way it's going to happen,
man. You'll stop the man, as in me, from bringing everybody down.
Stop bringing everybody down, the man.
Yeah, by not putting in a letters theme.
This one just says, Weekly Planet letters theme song, Sweet Minigun. I don't think it's a theme. I think it's something else. This is the theme for this week, though.
Great. Like it already. Your phone has paused.
Ah, oh, jeez.
There's a weird...
God.
Mason.
What?
You don't deserve shit.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, let's do some letters then.
That is a lettuce theme.
That is a lettuce theme. That's absolutely...
That could very well be a look into the future of this show.
Of you minigunning me to death.
Correct.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Nicholas J. Johnson, who just tweeted at me and ruined that.
Thanks, Nicholas J. Johnson.
Previous guest on the
show.
What
did he write?
Something or other.
I like that guy, actually.
Yeah, he's
I like his potto. It's good.
Anyway, let's talk about...
letters. Yes, let's talk about letters. Okay, so as also we do tweets as well. So if people, like I said, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod, we'll look for it. Do a couple of tweets, couple of letters, and we'll kind of see how we go. Now, lots of people have mentioned this on Twitter, including Jay, who is at Tara Owen, that there's a Shia LaBeouf update. He's live streaming himself, watching all of his movies. Now, look, we have neglected Shia LaBeouf news as of late.
Is it because we're sick to death of Shia LaBeouf and he should shut up?
And he's a parasite and I hate him.
Yep.
This is why I hate him. He's got a dumb face.
Oh, sure, yeah.
No, that's not it. You can have whatever face you want. Mm. I don't care about your face.
Yeah.
You dickhead. But this all started because he stole somebody's work.
Yep.
Blatantly.
Oh, yeah.
And then instead of properly apologizing,
maybe compensating the artist with his millions of dollars.
Maybe even doing an interview where he explained and whatever.
Yeah.
Anything at all, he decided to be like, I'm crazy. I'm a dickhead.
My art as well.
Exactly.
Stealing is part of my art is a reflection of stealing an art.
And so now because he's stolen somebody's work, it seems like, and then he just sent him into this ridiculous spiral of him doing dumb things that now we all have to hear about.
Yeah.
Potentially forever until he ends up like one of the Corey Feldman or the other Corey that died.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, shut up. I'm
Don't
sick
you
of
think,
this shit.
Does it not amuse you that every single time he thinks he's going to... I feel every single time he thinks he's going to get out of it.
Okay.
Like, he thinks this is going to be the last one.
This is
and
the
then
thing.
He can just go and make another Transformers movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But every time people are like, well, this is... Like, every time I think he expects people to go, oh, yeah, he is an artist. Now, let's let him do an art movie, and then he'll do a couple of art movies, like indies or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, oh, he's a great actor, isn't he? And then he'll just do some more blockbusters. I think that's how he thinks it's going to go.
Oh,
but
okay.
Every time, we all just go, what an idiot.
Yeah.
And then he has to do another stunt.
Let's do another thing.
Does that not amuse you?
So, if it turns out that he's actually trapped in some kind of web of idiocracy of his own making, then yes.
He's kind of in
correct.
A phantom zone of idiocy,
yes.
Like a weird hell dimension.
Then yeah,
but
I'm
otherwise,
all for
no.
that. Mm-hmm. So basically this week though, he watched all of his movies 3 days in a row and you could come in and watch him, or you could watch the video of him because there was a live stream.
Mm.
But you know, so he watched all his own movies. That's great.
Right. Even when he's only in like one scene?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, okay, good.
Like, great. I mean, good on ya.
Yeah.
You dickhead. I do like that idea that he's trapped in a hell of his own.
Yeah, it's good, right?
This is from whythekid_DC. Do you think it's possible for Marvel and Warner Brothers to strike a deal and make a crossover movie in the near future?
I don't think it'll work.
In what way? Because they're too different?
Oh, boy. Would you like to see that?
Eventually, sure. Just to be like, the universes have collided. No, that's all they need to say.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
That's just, yeah, somebody yells that.
I don't know. I don't think they would do it. I think the merchandise rights would be too tricky.
Okay, sure.
There'd be like Marvel versus DC merchandise. Mm. Would it be all under the one banner?
Yep.
You know, and then would Marvel only get money if they sold an Iron Man figure and DC only get money if they sold a Batman figure?
Sure, yeah.
Or, you know, I would kind of like to see it to see... Like, they release a whole bunch of Marvel DC figures and see what gets unsold at the end.
Right, right.
Like, is there 10 million unsold Aquaman figures or whatever?
Sure.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think there's too many...
Variables?
I think there's already too many Marvel... There's already too many Marvel and DC storylines that we need to get put on.
Right.
Put into the movies.
Yep.
And the company-wide crossovers are always... they've always shoehorned in some weird storyline.
Yeah.
There's always some being that wants to... merge the universes to, I don't know.
Whatever the plot of Mortal Kombat versus DC is.
Yes, exactly. Now,
that.
I don't think they'd do it.
Mm-hmm. I think when they eventually, if people get sick of these, then they'll probably just... And both sides are doing poorly.
Yeah, okay.
Then maybe they'll do it.
Yeah.
But
I reckon they might do a charity short or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Like you'd get... You know, because, you know, you'll do like a comic relief. you know, David Tennant Doctor Who met Peter Davison Doctor Who kind of thing, and it was funny for
absolutely.
I enjoyed a little thing like that. Maybe, you know, worlds collide and Iron Man meets Batman and they have a conversation about how they're both rich.
Yep, sure.
And then
they
donate money to charity or whatever.
Great.
You know what I'm talking about?
I understand.
I'd see that, but I don't want to
see. But neither of them could use their actual name, like the character's name.
Oh, right, sure,
so it's
yeah.
just Robert Downey Jr. and Ben Affleck. Like, we're both pretty rich, aren't we?
Yep. Oh, it's just them talking.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yeah.
So you can interpret that whatever
look,
you want.
I think it'd be a nightmare to get it. I mean, given that Marvel cannot, given that it's been a decades long battle to get their own characters back, to get the X-Men back, to get the Fantastic Four back, Spider-Man back.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to start doing this.
Okay.
I think if they do, like I said, if they're going to do it, it'll be like a tiny scale thing for a good cause or something. And there are too many, I think there are too many separate good stories. Like you want to see the Red Hood, you want to see Court of Owls, like you said, you want to see all these ones. You want to see Infinity War, you want to see all the excellent Marvel and DC stories. There's never been a good crossover.
Nah, I guess you're right.
Justice League.
Oh, Batman Daredevil's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. I mean like a huge scale one. Like a Justice League Avengers crossover, they're never good.
Yeah.
That Amalgam Comics thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Was enjoyable, but how are they gonna do that on screen?
They're gonna need a whole Darklaw, the Wolverine Batman hybrid. Exactly.
Man, if you haven't read that though, Adventures of Darklaw, which is the Batman animated series version of Wolverine and Batman, is very good.
Wait. It's the animated versions. I know there's the comic, but is the comic based on the animated versions?
No, there was two Marvel versus DC like major crossovers.
Yeah.
And at the end of each one they became Amalgam Comics, and there was, you know, there was Iron Lantern, which was a crossover between Iron Man and Green Lantern, etc. And the first time they did the crossover, they just did Darkclaw.
Yeah.
Which was this extreme 90s, you know, amalgamation of Batman and Wolverine.
Mm.
But in the second time they did the crossover, they did Adventures of Darklaw, which was in the style of like the Bruce Timm animated series Batman.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's pretty good. It's my fave.
Good. That's good. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Me too.
Okay. Last letter. Hey dickheads. I spent a whole history lecture at uni on Friday debating on which prequel trilogy was worse, The Hobbit or the Star Wars prequels. I was wondering if you guys could give me your opinions. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the podcast. Keep up the good work, you bloody Aussies. Mark from Nottingham, the UK, the official Salacious B. Crumb of the podcast.
Ooh.
Okay. You haven't seen all the Hobbit prequels.
No, but they're better.
Okay, look. They are.
Also, he's from Nottingham.
Yes, he is.
Maybe he's the sheriff of Nottingham.
But I couldn't sit through the Hobbit trilogy again.
Okay.
They're better.
But you could sit through the Star Wars prequel trilogy again.
If I had to.
Hmm.
Yes, because they're shorter.
Yeah, it's a good
point. And I like the Star Wars universe more than I like the Lord of the Rings universe. I don't like anything to do with The Hobbit. Dragon's pretty good.
Okay.
But I couldn't. It's like 15 hours. couldn't do it? Like just the thought of it makes me tired.
Wow.
So Hobbit, they're better films. They're better written. They have better effects. They have better CGI characters. Better director. But no.
They're extraordinarily long.
They're so incredible. Long.
Okay, all right.
It's so right. long.
Again, we agree to disagree.
You haven't seen them. If you,
correct.
If you, buddy, had the shotgun three Hobbit movies, I'd like to see what you think after you've watched them all.
But yeah, good point.
You probably never will.
I think I'd probably enjoy one and two, and then I'd get to three and go, oh, I've seen this.
Yep.
I have to sit here for 3 hours.
I bet you wouldn't enjoy it.
I wouldn't enjoy it.
There's
right.
a 15-minute dishwashing song at the first one.
Ooh.
It's not 15 minutes. But it feels like it.
Mm.
All right, that's the show for this week.
Yay!
We did it. Where can people find us?
They can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and Bandcamp, where we've got our audio commentaries for movies.
And maybe we'll do the Return of the Jedi one this week like we said that we would.
Yeah.
But maybe we won't.
Maybe. We say a lot of things.
It's hard to say anything, isn't it?
Yep. Especially while watching a movie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, last week, remember I had that catchphrase? There was get laid, have Gatorade or whatever.
That you were tricked into saying, yeah.
Yeah, I was tricked into saying it, it turns out.
Yep.
I'm easily tricked. I mean, everybody knows that. But so that catchphrase belongs to a much more successful YouTuber.
And, Dom Senna.
Yes,
uh-huh.
That's right. And so I guess, you know, I feel betrayed, obviously.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I won't be accepting any more catchphrases, or I will. We'll see, won't we? Or at least I'll be double checking.
Nah, no, just wing it. So, yeah, I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Is that everything? We plugged enough stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of either Hunger Games or Doctor Who? Let us know and maybe we'll read out something if I can.
Sounds good.
Do it.
I'm looking forward to seeing Philip Seymour Hoffman again.
Me too.
Yeah. So and like other people in that.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, she's great.
One of the Zac Efron brothers. No, Hemsworth brothers.
Sure.
Any of those
a
cats.
Great note to end on, I feel.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Grab it to jam, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.